Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Have you ever heard someone say, "Well, it must be true. I saw it on the internet." A few years back before that, "Well, it must be true because I saw it on television." And then there's that old saying that they used to talk about, but I don't hear it much anymore. Pictures never lie. How many remember hearing that one? Yet we know, especially those that have programs like Photoshop and things for the computer, how much pictures can lie. In fact, pictures are sometimes some of the biggest liars we have around. Another person stated, "I read it in a book, so it must be true." Yet we have found that lately, some of the textbooks, as they're being examined, that are going to be taught in our schools contain multiple errors and misinformation, trying to sway the beliefs of people in a certain direction that may or may not be the truthful way. I remember hearing a story about my great-grandmother, I believe it was, and she lived in a little community called Savoy, Arkansas, and it was kind of out in the boonies. One time during the Civil War era, I guess it had been a thriving community. But they lived out on a large farm. There were two houses there. And one day she told everybody, "Hurry, get inside and lock the doors." And if any of you remember things about people who lived in the country years ago, they never locked their doors. "Get inside, lock the doors." And they questioned her, "What's going on?" "Well, I was listening to the radio and they said there's an escaped killer in the area and they were telling everybody to go inside and lock their doors." Upon further examination, she was listening to one of the popular soap operas of the day. But people, what they heard on radio, believed what they heard. Many of you here are maybe not young enough, or old enough, I should say. It's never not young enough. You're not old enough to remember a program, and I don't remember it personally, although I've heard it and studied it, a program that was aired, and I forget which year it was aired on the radio, but it was Orson Welles. It was a radio adaptation of Orson Welles' War of the Worlds. People committed suicide. People barricaded themselves in their homes. Others gathered weapons and prepared to defend themselves against the invading Martian throes that were upon them. It was a radio broadcast. I've heard the broadcast in its entirety, including the disclaimers at the beginning, even in the middle, and the end, that it was just a story. But yet people heard bits and pieces, and they believed what they heard. Some people died that day because of hearing that broadcast and taking it the wrong way. Sometimes we want to believe something is okay even when we know it's wrong, just so we can justify what we're doing. Why? Because Satan wants us to believe a lie. And by the way, the title of today's message is Believing a Lie. And there are times in the lives of everyone that's listening to me that you have believed a lie. You have been told something and you accepted it as truth, even though it was a lie. In many cases, maybe you didn't know any better. And because of the person who was giving you the information, you accepted what they had to say as truth. But I think we've all learned recently in the last couple of years that there's an extreme amount of disinformation out there. I know that's a nice fancy word that people like to use today, disinformation. It can be boiled down to a little three-letter word. It's a lie that has been told to spread something to get somebody's agenda across. And I know from saying that, some people are starting to think, well, maybe he's going into some type of political message today. No, this is not a political message. Those would probably take more time than I have this morning to get into. But Satan wants us to believe a lie. Here's what God's Word, the Holy Bible, has to say. And if you want to read this along with me, it's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 12. And I want to point out at this time, while you're looking for that up, that in your bulletin you'll be able to read it. Part of an article that I put in there that more people believe that aliens have visited the earth and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Interesting, I thought. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 through 12, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalted himself above all things that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. What's this pertaining to? It's asking people to believe a lie, is what it's referring to here. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Deception, lying. The world right now is asking us to believe lies. Our politicians are asking us to believe lies. Even sometimes our churches are asking us to believe lies. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The last two verses I read there, 11 and 12, sometimes I've heard people combine these two and just take words out of them, but it's very effective in the way that they say it that way, that they believe a lie and be damned. We can believe a lie and be damned. That's what it is telling us. So what is truth? That's a question that was asked over 2,000 years ago by a man named Pilate, recorded in the books of the Bible in John chapter 18, verses 37 through 38. And then Pilate said unto him, art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. For this cause am I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And when he had said that, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find no cause at all. What is truth? As I said earlier, Satan wants us to believe a lie. It started with Eve in the Garden of Eden. Look, Eve, isn't this beautiful fruit? This nice, shiny piece of fruit here, whatever it was. I can't eat of that fruit. God said, I'll die if I eat of that fruit. Nah. You won't die. You'll become like God. Take a bite. Believe a lie, Eve. Well, we all know what happened there. And that's how we got in the mess we're in today. Because someone believed a lie. Some do not want to hear the truth. You run into people like that all the time. It doesn't matter what the subject may be, some people don't want to hear what the truth is because it offends them in some way. Maybe it shatters their illusions of certain things if they hear the truth. So they don't want to hear the truth. They want to go on and believe what in their mind they have construed to be truth, even though it's a lie. And sometimes things are presented as truth that are, in fact, nothing more than a cleverly constructed lie. Many want to make their own truth. Well, if I believe it this way, then it must be so. That doesn't matter that all the evidence is the other way. It's how I believe. And if I believe it that way, it's so. And there are people out there today that are so dogmatic, and they're thinking that their way is the only way. You ever heard the thing, it's either my way or the highway? That's how some people are. And some people even bring that down into their religious beliefs. And I'm having problems lately with some of the religious terminology that we use because it has been so misconstrued and so misused that it no longer has its true meaning anymore. Because we talk about religious folks, and you would think those are people who are deeply involved with God. But there are religious folks out there that are not even walking with God. They have a good front sometimes, but they're not walking with God. Oh, they may be walking with a God. There's only one true God. That's what the Bible tells us, and I believe the Bible is God's word. Only one true God, but there's a lot of false gods out there. They want to make their own truth. It's my way. Jesus warned of a coming time of deception in Matthew chapter 24, and we don't have time to deal with the entirety of chapter 24. But in verse 5, he said, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Before Jesus was born as a babe, there in Bethlehem, a little over 2,000 years ago, there were already people who were claiming to be Messiah. And since then, multiple times, people have again claimed to be Jesus or Messiah. They're not walking around anymore. They're all buried somewhere. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is still alive today. There is only one true God. He says, they will say, I am Christ, and many shall be deceived. It goes on, it talks about false teachers and prophets in there that are spreading damnable heresies, it talks about false truths in the church, pretending that they are a messenger from God, when in fact they're really a messenger from Satan. We've all seen and heard of some of them. And some of them even seem to have started out good. Some of them, and most probably we think recently in the last 20, 30 years maybe of David Koresh in Waco, Texas. We think of Jim Jones, who led his flock from California to Guyana. And you can go back further in some of the more notable ones that have spread a lie that people believed. And it cost them not only their life here on earth, but it cost them their spiritual life as well. Because they believed a lie. Most false messages and messengers who deceive many because their message has a shred of truth. A lot of times we watch commercials on television and they claim this is going to be so good for you, or it will do this or that, and they do a demonstration of a certain aspect and it looks really good. There's the shred of truth, and then when you get the product, you find out it's nothing like what you were told it was going to be. I know there's one type of commercial on TV anymore that's about weight loss, and we're concerned about weight loss. Yet one product that was sold on a popular shopping channel and sold other places is having to refund millions of dollars to those who bought the product because the product was not what it was advertised to be. Had some shreds of truth in it, but it didn't work the way it was advertised. Many want to believe a lie because it will justify what they are doing. God's word is truth. Simple as that. If you question anything, examine it against God's word. If God's word says it's wrong, then guess what? I don't care how you believe, it's wrong. And if God's word says it's right, again, I don't care how you believe or how you want to present it, it's right. There's debate going on now over various things, homosexuality for one example, gay marriage, these things. Well, you people, you Christians are just being too harsh, you know. You don't understand, and you're uncompassionate, and you're not living like a Christian because you condemn us. God's word flat out plainly says in black and white, it is wrong. Simple as that. The Bible says it's wrong, I believe it's wrong. Now, am I going to run out and shout things at these people that are doing this? And I've had acquaintances and worked with people over the years that were gay, and I've treated with kindness and courtesy. But I still believe what they were doing was wrong. They knew I believed what they were doing was wrong, and they respected my belief as well. We have to sometimes take a stand in our lives for what God's word says. But many times we want to judge what other people are doing when we don't even judge our own lives as to what we're doing. And there are times we are doing, every one of us, those that are here in this building today and those that are going to be listening to me over the internet will find times in your life when you are tempted to do something that is wrong. In fact, most of the time, most of us can't go through a day without things like that happening. You're tempted to do something wrong. But we know in our heart what is right. So what do we do? Do we do what's right, what God's Word says is right? Or we do go ahead and do what's wrong because maybe it's going to make us feel better, or maybe it's going to keep us out of a pinch with the boss sometimes, or whatever we get from it. As I said, God's Word is truth. And as Christians, and again, this is a word I'm having a little problem with lately. I wish we could find a little bit better word here, because the word Christian has been so abused and misrepresented anymore that it's almost lost its true meaning. We who believe in Jesus Christ and are born again, maybe that's how we should say it, it's a little bit longer. But we as Christians say we believe it, but do we? A friend of mine, years ago, we used to publish a newsletter for the ministry. And one of our members of our ministry team was a pretty good cartoonist. And he drew a little strip for our newsletter. And one time his strip, I don't remember it having any words to it even. Just the cartoons, and it was about 4 panels long. And it showed the family getting ready for church and all the turmoil that they were going through. This is wrong, that's wrong. And slamming and bamming and whatever, you know. And it showed them on their way to church, honk, 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 because the traffic's not fast enough. And they get to church. How great thou art. You know, oh, look over there, man, that's Super Saint Joe there. And then church is over. They're back in a car. The husband, the wife, and the kids, and it's fits being thrown. Some Christians are one way on Sunday and another way the rest of the week, enjoying sometimes their secret sin. One of the things, I subscribe to a number of Christian newsletters on the internet, and one of the biggest concerns that they're talking about in these is the secret sins that are going on in the church today. They talk about it primarily because this has to do with ministry. And ministers, they talk about it in the ministry. How many have a secret life that they don't want the rest of the world to know about? But we read all the time now of well-known ministers suddenly having to resign their church because they're in the process of many times a messy divorce. Various reasons. Why? Because in many cases, they had a secret sin in their life that brought this about and brought it to that conclusion. How many of you remember a singer by the name of Debbie Boone? Some of you are old enough to remember anyway. Debbie Boone had one song, and she advertises something on TV right now. I can't remember what it is. She's in a commercial. But she had a song that was really probably the only song she sang that people really remember, and it was called You Light Up My Life. People sang it in church. What are the words? If it feels so good, how can it be wrong? And that's the way a lot of Christians are today. It does not matter what God's Word has to say. If it feels good, how can it be wrong? First John 3:20 says, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows all things." Guess what? Your secret ain't secret no more. God is known from the beginning. And some think, well, it doesn't matter what God's Word says. If God's Word says it's a sin, I'll be okay. I think one of the greatest heresies going around out there today is the teaching that once you ask for forgiveness, you are forgiven for everything from now on. You can live how you want to live. You can do what you want to do. God has forgiven you. I don't think that's so. Not according to the way I read the Bible. Do we fall into sin? Do we sin? Unfortunately, as far as I know, every one of us does at some point or another. Because we're still not perfect. We still fall into temptation. We still do things we know we shouldn't do. I'm not going to ask anybody to raise hands, but have you ever told a lie since you became a Christian? I would almost guarantee that most people have told one at some point. Maybe not even intentionally. But sometimes it's very easy to sin. You get caught in a bind. Hey, a good lie will get me out of this, you know. There used to be a saying I'd heard before. I don't know where it started. I'd heard it. But, you know, you want to hear the truth or a good lie, you know. Some people prefer to hear the good lie. John chapter 8, verse 32 says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." I want you to look with me a bit into the future. Think about that, looking into the future. You know, years ago, people, they used to look into the future, and I really kind of wish some of the things they thought about, and I'm just talking about in the natural, they tried to look into the future, what things would be, and by now we should have flying cars, and we should have, you know, all these kind of things that we don't have. But we have some pretty neat stuff that our parents never dreamed that we could have. But let's look into the future, biblically. And biblically, we are told that we are all going to meet Jesus face to face someday. And He will have something to say to each and every one of us. Think about that. We're going to meet Him. He's got something to say to us. And it will either be, as it says in Matthew chapter 25, 23, when He's giving these parables, "And His Lord said unto Him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Colossians 3, 24 through 25 goes on to say, "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye served the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect to persons." He's not going to look down and say, "Okay, sorry guys, but I like Christopher better than I like Anthony, so you're out of here, Anthony." You know? He's not going to do that. He's going to look down and say, "I know what's on your heart and what you believed and what truth is." And He's not going to judge you with a ulterior motive or motive of, I like you better than somebody else. So we will meet him, and he may say to us, if we are Christian, going by what the biblical meaning of the word Christian is, well good, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And as Christians, born again believers in Jesus Christ, those are the words we should be longing to hear as we stand before him someday. For some, that day will be sooner than for others. Or the other option here, Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name doth done many wonderful works. Sounds like there's going to be a few preachers standing there at that point. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And at that point, there is no second chance. Remember in the scripture, those guys, the sons of Sceva, who saw the miracles being performed and they thought they could do it. And so they went out and said in the name of the Jesus that Paul talks about and Peter talks about, we cast you devils out. And what happened? The devils whipped up on them and they ran away, beaten up, naked. The devil's going to beat you up at some point. We look at some of these rock stars who purportedly made deals with Satan. Make me a star and I'll be yours. And how miserable they became toward the end of their lives, and many died young. Because Satan's a hard taskmaster. You make a deal with him and you're not going to come out the winner. But you give your life to Jesus Christ and you win every time. You can find this judgment he's talking about here explained further in Revelations chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, where it says, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If your name is not written in the book of life, as some say, sorry, Charlie, it's all over with at that point. There is no other chance. Many people believe, well, once I ask Jesus into my heart and he writes my name in the book of life, it's there forever, no matter what I do, how I act, what I say, whatever. But that's not biblical. The Jews have a day. And unfortunately, at the moment, my mind, it escapes me what that day is. Maybe Larry will remember it for me here. Where they come, and it is the day that the names are either inscribed in the book of life for another year. Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah. Thank you. Their name is inscribed in it for another year. They have to go on a year-to-year basis. We accept Jesus into our heart, and it's inscribed there, and the only way it gets taken out is if we take it out. And we can take it out. And some people are out there teaching today, oh, you can't take that out once God's written it. You can't erase it. I'm sorry, but that's hogwash. You sin enough and you'll get your name blotted out of the book of life. Moses even taught that when he said, remove my name from the book of life if you're going to do this, God. Because God was going to bring harsh judgment upon the children of Israel. And Moses interceded and said, God, if you're going to do that, then take my name out also. So yes, the Bible says our name can be taken out. And we as Christians who are born again believers had better wake up and recognize the fact that yes, our name can be removed from the book of life. And if it's not found written in that book when we stand before God, whether we stand before Him at this white throne judgment, it is too late. The minute you breathe your final breath, wherever you may be, it is too late. So what do you do? Well, number one, quit believing a lie. And there's a lot of lies being perpetrated today. Everywhere. Not just outside the church, but in the church. Quit believing a lie. Ask God for forgiveness. Sometimes I say, God, if I've done anything that I don't recognize that I did, that was wrong, please forgive me. You've got to keep your heart straight before God. And I know that I'm not perfect. Saint is never going to be inscribed in front of my name in the typical way that this is Saint so-and-so, you know. I only know one person that happened to him. We had a pastor years ago. His mother always wanted him to be a preacher, so she named him Saint Elmo. She figured that there was no other thing he could do with that name. But I'm never going to be a saint in that sense, that you're going to put saint in front of my name and hold me up as a bright example, because I mess up. Oh, the pastor messes up? You betcha. And if you find other pastors that are truthful, they'll tell you they mess up once in a while too. Do I mess up every day? Maybe not every day. But I still have to repent of things that I do. So we need to find that we ask for repentance. And repenting from our sins, what is repentance? Well, it's to reconsider. It's to think differently afterwards. It's to turn away from. If you have repented from your sin, guess what? You will turn away from your sin. Simple as that. That's what repentance means. I repent of this. I turn away from it. Sometimes we even need to repent of a few things in our lives that aren't necessarily a sin that's going to keep us out of heaven. And I used maybe the wrong word there. Something in our lives that we shouldn't be doing because of our own health problems or whatever, we need to repent from that and turn away from it. But we need to repent from anything and turn away from anything that the Bible says is sin. Because it will keep us out of heaven. The Bible talks about two judgments, and I know I've run over time today. The Bible talks about two judgments. There'll be the one for those saints that are already in heaven, went up in the rapture, however they got there. They're coming for their rewards. And yes, there's going to be rewards. Some people are going to be surprised at what they don't get. Some people are going to be surprised at what they do get. And then there's going to be that one I talked about here. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. When those who are in the second resurrection, there, those that are the resurrected dead who did not die in Christ, who were not saved, and they stand before God. At that point, really, when you get down and you examine, all it has to say is it is the degree of their punishment that is being meted out. Yes, I believe there's degrees of punishment. I believe God is a just God. They all end up in the same place, though, separated from God for eternity. And that's a horrible thing to think about. Eternally separated from God. The question is, if it were your time to meet Jesus, say in the next couple of hours, none of us knows when it's going to be our time. None of us knows. Just those that die in Christ are going to meet him sooner. But if your time to meet Jesus, say sometime today. And that's possible. We don't know what's going to happen before we walk out these doors. Are you really ready to meet Jesus? Those listening to me on the internet, think about it. As you listen to me, think about in the next 45 minutes from the time you hear this message, what could possibly happen to you? There's a lot of things. You could just flat out keel over and meet Jesus. Are you ready? Are you ready? Do we have secret sins in our lives that we won't have time to repent of? Do we? Time to repent is now, not hope for later. Father, I ask now that you would speak to hearts. Father, in Jesus' name, let the Holy Spirit begin to work. Father, not only in our midst here, touching hearts and lives, Father, but let this word, as it goes out in other means, that Holy Spirit presence go with it. And those that hear these words today, if there's secret sin in their life, Father, that they will be convicted. In fact, God, I pray that they would be miserable. And I know someone would say, you're going to pray somebody would be miserable. I'd rather they be miserable and make heaven than happy and make hell. So, Father, do what it takes in their lives, wherever they are. I ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.